my thoughts to my head, say make I deny you. I go tell them, say lie, lie. Don't be like, yeah. I fix spend all of my money on you. Spend a couple million on you. Give you love until you say don't do it, yeah, yeah. Special type of feeling that I feel when I'm with you. On the mommy, anytime where I deal with you. I want your heart and soul and your own body too. I can't let you go. I'm beginning to fall in love. I'm beginning to fall in love. I'm beginning to fall in love. This love don't be ordinary thing. It's supposed to be one night thing. But now I know they catch feelings. I they flex when I see with another person. No, no, I know they concentrate on me. Make me felicitate your mom. Hold me tight and rub on my LP. You make I feel alright. Yeah, yeah. Special type of feeling that I feel when I'm with you. Hold the mommy and it's the way I deal with you. I want your heart and soul and your own body too. I can't let you go. I'm beginning to fall in love. I'm beginning to fall in love.
Μάλλον ναι, μάλλον λες ο εφού, μάλλον λέγει η μαμά. Και ώρα, Warm Pacific Greetings. Welcome to another Tiama Live podcast, a dedicated platform to educate and help raise awareness to improving the overall health and well-being of our multicultural Pacific Island people right here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and our Pacific people overseas, with regular guests giving and sharing expert advice on health topics and health services available. But I think more importantly, each and every one of us taking ownership over ourselves, taking ownership of our health so that we can provide and look after our loved ones, so we can contribute to our extended families, our friends, our churches, our sports teams, clubs, our communities. And we can only achieve this by looking after ourselves first and foremost, instead of being a burden to our health system, when we could have looked after ourselves more diligently, day in and day out, bit by bit. I think a simple, balanced diet and daily exercise will make a world of difference. Believe that. On Tiama Health, one of our main focus this year is also to promote and celebrate Pacific success. Yes, celebrating and acknowledging Pacific success. I think that's important. It plays a vital part in our daily lives. Fighting the good fight. You know, we are a resilient, strong people. And it has been proven time and time again, against all odds, we come out on top, stronger. So at Te Ama, we celebrate our people and their achievements, overcoming many obstacles, hardships, and personal tragedies, turning tragedy into triumph. A powerful story of healing and ultimately helping others to heal and on the road to bigger, better things. Amen. And today, on Te Ama, our Community Health Radio Show, we are super blessed to have Beletioli, a shining light for many of us, a young Pacific leader down the line in Hastings, a leading mental health advocate in New Zealand amongst our Pacific and Māori people. That's right. Beletti is also a mentor and role model to many youth in Flaxmere and Hastings due to personal experience. A bit of who Beletti is. Beletti is a talented barber and business owner. Yes, business owner, making a huge difference in the lives of Māori and Pacific community in Flaxmere, Hastings. And check this. Beletti is also the star of the docu-series on Māori TV, The Barber. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Show, I really enjoyed it. Also, Beletti raising awareness to mental health issues facing Māori and Pacific men. He's also an award-winning barber and New Zealand's hair art champion. So for Beletti to be acknowledged in his line of work says a lot. My beautiful wife Leona's sitting right here next to me, and she knows, and she tells me too how much I need to look my best when getting a fade. You know, a lot of us boys and men, some won't admit it, but we love to look sharp and smart when getting our hair and beard styled precisely and exactly to how we want it. And yes, there are a lot of top barbers here in NZ and back home in the Pacific. So for Beletti to be amongst the best of the best at what he does shows what kind of individual he is. The drive and passion he has in the specialised skill. For our guest, Beletti, coming from very humble beginnings, not having much at all. And when you get to know the man and follow him as well, enduring a lot of pain from a young age, challenges, hardships and personal tragedy, Beletti has put a lot of time, effort and tears into his work and ministry to help out, to reach out to others. Beletti will be sharing with us a bit about himself, his journey, his family, and his hopes and dreams for himself and his beloved community of Flaxmere and Hastings moving forward. So right now I'm going to play another jam. I'm going to try and get Beletti on air, live on air from Flaxmere. Hello, Oli. Paletti.
Hello, Uzo. Hello.
Hey, my apologies for the stuff up. My bad.
No worries, Uzo.
Okay. Thanks, bro. Paletti.
Yes.
We'll get right into it. We wasted a lot of valuable time. My bad. Hey, is that baby with you?
Yeah, baby's with me.
Nice. Okay. Paletti, on top of all that you already do, you have become Hastings' first Pacific counsellor. Tell us, what does your new role mean? And I know you're new to that role, but what do you hope to achieve, my man?
So it's the role for myself. I represent Flaxmere Ward. Flaxmere is the neighbourhood that I grew up in.
Yes.
The community that I grew up in, and for myself to represent and become the voice for the people, that's a big responsibility for me, especially being Polynesian. Yes. I want to emphasize a stronger voice for the Pacific community, from my community, especially from growing up in Flaxmere and seeing the different perspective from how I grew up. It gives me a stronger voice of understanding and kind of being, you know, lived the life that everyone is living at the moment with the future of the struggle. So, for me to be able to represent them with a fair voice and unbiased opinion, I feel that's really important for our people. Yeah.
Hard out, bro. So, like you said, growing up in the area, you know what's going on in there, man, better than anyone else or even politicians. Bro, what are some issues that you see, you know, right now that you would like to focus on, Paletti?
Yeah. For myself, when I was campaigning and standing, yes, promoting myself, my main priority is mental health.
Yes.
Mental health is my main priority, especially losing my brother to suicide. That's one of my key focuses. Another one is, not one man can fix the water crisis, but I want to gather, you know, some kind of transparency as to what's happening. I want to give more exposure to my people or to our people to understand the procedure of you know, the water crisis here in Hawke's Bay.
Yes.
Another strong one is housing.
Yes.
There's so many, you know, homeless people out there or people that are struggling just to get into a decent home. That's where I want to find the right people to connect with and be able to get these people into homes and also assist first-time home buyers.
Absolutely.
As well. And, yeah, other things within the youth. And also gangs is has a strong presence here in Hawke's Bay. So I really want to try and mediate that or even just communicate with the leaders and see how we can resolve some of the issues that are happening.
My man.
Yeah.
Thank you. So it looks like you got a lot of responsibilities on your plate in regards to the work you got you want to do, you got to do for your community down there in Flaxmere, Hastings, also.
Yeah, for sure.
My man, Paletti, man, you know, I've been following you for a bit, reading up on articles and you leading up to the work you wanted to do on the local board there in Hastings.
Yeah.
But first, Paletti, how did you get into barbering?
Barbering is a very, very special trade, especially in my life.
Yes.
I had a good Māori friend from Huntly. He moved to Hastings.
Yes.
And, me and him became good friends, and then he taught me how to do a haircut.
Yes.
And then from then on, we continued to cut each other's hair, cut the students here at school in the changing rooms, and it became a hobby of mine.
Yeah.
My friend, he passed away. He lost his life to suicide as well. And then I went to teach my brother Somi. And my brother Somi became the barber for our high school.
Yes.
And then eventually he lost he he lost his life to suicide as well. So that makes barbering a lot more special to me because it holds a spiritual connection for me,
yes.
Especially with the loss of my two brothers. So barbering, I try to build a safe space within my shop or my area to help men open up and talk about their issues instead of, you know, suppressing it. I try and build a safe conversation so they can open up and just, yeah, relax and talk about their emotions, because it's hard for men to talk about their emotions because of the stigma of men should be strong, men should be tough, yeah. Men should protect.
Keeping it together.
Yeah, also. So in the barbering barber shop, where I'm able to build that safe environment for men to open up in, and that's become my passion. And barbering has become my tool to be able to connect with men one-on-one, but then also in the community with the youth.
That's powerful. That's powerful, Baletti. You know, yeah. Like I said, I've been and just chatting to you in the past year in person, you know, and following you. It's very true, and a lot of us boys out there, our men out there, when we go into a barber, sit on that seat. It's just it's like a for me, yeah. It's like a place where I can just chat openly and feel safe and feel good at the same time. Well, you know, it depends if the barber can cut properly. But
and that's the first sign of feeling safe is knowing that your barber can serve you to the quality that you're expecting.
Yes.
So obviously you're going to find the right barber for you. So automatically you feel safe. You can probably fall asleep and know that the barber will give you the haircut that you want. So that's immediately the first gate that should be checked in the barber shop.
Absolutely. And Baletti, I know you're very humble, unassuming man. That's how I perceived you when I first met you at that. Remember we hooked up early last year.
You were one of the
man. That was an awesome convention, man. And I have to say, you know, it's always good to see our Pacific people and seeing certain people there speaking. But you really caught me off guard, man.
Yeah.
How you shared and what you shared.
Yeah.
I was blown away.
Probably wasn't expecting it, eh?
Oh man, the emotions, you know, like it was like a roller coaster listening to your story. It was a real inspiring story, and then bang, reality and some real deep tragedy happened to you along the way. And still thinking about that too when we first met.
I was actually really humbled at that convention, because when we're sitting amongst the likes of Beatrice Flamorina, who's an amazing athlete, and then you're meeting all these other great people there as well, and I'm like, you know, TV news hosts, and I was blown away. I was actually like thinking to myself, what am I even doing here? It was like the big, you know, Pacific, you know, like all these people have got a lot of achievements, and then it kind of made me really humble. It was a humbling experience, but then I really appreciated the access to have a conversation with these people, and even to meet the likes of yourself also, you know, like how the lifestyle that you live in Rarotonga, and talking about your family and bringing them up in the islands is beautiful. That was so cool to share and exchange those stories.
Thank you also.
That was
cool.
Thank you.
Man, that's, bro, I'm telling you, you more than held your own, man. And
thanks, Us.
Amongst our other esteemed Pacific leaders. And also, there's, okay, I got a whole heap of questions here.
Sweet is.
And Baletti, you did touch on those issues and challenges you see in your community,
Yeah.
Baletti. And another massive issue that I have seen and still see that has affected and continues to have a massive negative impact on us Pacific and Māori families are, you're right, are the gangs. Also, you know, I know from our respective hoods, that's a part of that's a part of our hoods. I see here in South Auckland an increase in gang activity and an increase in gang numbers. The recruitment drive for the gangs have always been strong in the past, but with social media being easily accessible and the perception that's put out there in the media, you know, Facebook, Insta, Twitter, Snapchat and all that, they make they're smart, man. It's very attractive and deceptive, you know. Also, we all got family, day ones, and know of people that are deep in gangs and criminal activity. And to me, also being it's repulsive, man. It's literally killing our own. You know, we love our family, our friends, but what they do is hurting and killing ourselves, our friends, people we know. But and these are everyday, real bloody problems affecting our hoods, our communities. Baletti, what's one way, you know, being, growing up in where you're from, seeing this day in, day out, Baletti, what's one way we can address this issue?
Respectfully, you know, like what you were saying, a lot of them do join the gangs, and for myself, I grew up with a lot of my friends who are still my friends to this day, with a patch or no patch. They're still my friends to me, and I know the media do project the image of like criminal activity and all of that, and that's totally agreeable. At the same time, people do have their own reasons for joining the gang. They kind of glorify the man on the motorbike with a lot of money, you know, and looking cool with all the fancy, you know, the cars and whatnot. So growing up as a young person, you see that and that you're attracted to that immediately. And then once you're in the gang with your patch on, that's when the real hard work begins, and that's when the criminal activity starts to roll in and whatnot. And that's when the person starts to get more involved deeper into the gang. So for me, I feel our youth, just they really need better role models. A lot of the youth in our Pacific communities or the Māori community, they didn't grow up with their parents. They didn't grow up with a dad or a strong father figure. A lot of them are finalized into the care of their grandparents. So feeling left out or feeling rejected or neglected as a child, that plays a big toll in a lot of our youth these days, you know, not having a father figure to kind of look up to. But then the areas that they grow in, like the hood, the only, you know, example or role model that they have is the next door neighbor or the guy just down the road with the cool bikes. And a lot of them our friends are exposed to this, and this is quite common in the community. And it almost, you know, like being, that's why they call it stuck in a trap.
Yes, that's true.
Stuck in a dome. The hood, that's why they call the hood the trap, because, you know, you're exposed to what's in front of you, and that's gang mentality and whatever follows on. But I feel like our youth just are just screaming and wanting better role models, better father figures, better mothers, better leaders. So we know there are the leaders out there. It's just some are just slipping through the cracks, I feel, and they need that consistency in their lives. It's funny when I talk to a lot of musicians and a lot of people who have become successful artists.
Yes,
they say the only thing that was consistent in their life was music. And anytime that they were feeling neglected, they'll reach out for the guitar, or they'll reach out to whoever artists are on the TV screen or on their playlist on the phone, and then they, you know, kind of catapult themselves into a musical career. And then when they give, you know, homage back to, or pay their respects, they pay their respects to the artists that were there in their hard time.
Wow.
So I feel our youth who do end up joining the gangs are just lacking that acceptance, that belonging. And I know the system doesn't really make it fair or make it easy for us to go and have these opportunities like going to law school or going to music school or being exposed to like sports because they can't afford it. So I feel we need to keep going. And I know there are a lot of great services out there, a lot of good people like yourself or so. I know the brothers and the sisters are out there trying to fight the good fight in the communities to be able to pull our youth back into the right path. But because the gangs are consistent, they're always there, they're always surrounded by it. That's the only, from my point of view, I feel that's the only consistent thing in their life that they're able to easily reach out to and be like, hey, I want to, you know, belong to something. I want to belong to something that doesn't hate me like the system does, you know. And that's, I feel, from my point of view, that's part of the issue, is we need a stronger presence of leadership in our communities, because we will obviously know the gang presence is everywhere. Everywhere we turn, they're there. So we just need to, you know, battle the good against the bad. And not a lot of the gangs are bad people, because I'm still friends with a lot of my good usos from when I grew up, and they're good people. They just, you know, have to do some bad things sometimes. But I'm not promoting it. I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying we need better role models out there, leaderships, just to get our youth in time before they fall through the cracks.
Absolutely. That's real talk. That's right, Beletti. And, you know, looking from the outside in, you know, these gangs, they are smart, man. I mean, how are they, what are they doing to influence our young ones, our, you know, disconnected youth that we're missing out on, you know? So we got to look at how they, what they're doing to lure, you know, our young men, kids, you know, to join them and find that sense of belonging in that settings, which I don't think they fully understand till they're in deep in there and they can't get out. I mean,
they can't get out and it's too late.
It's too late.
We need to get them before it's too late.
That's right. Malo Paletti. Hey, Paletti, I'm just shooting along, man. We wasted a bit of time at the start.
Paletti. Oh,
thank you, Paletti. Paletti, also, I know you have a family member, you know, Jamie Kawai, that has been missing, that's disappeared under suspicious circumstances. Heartbreaking for the family and community. You and your wife, Janique, have been very active on social media, you know, launching social media campaigns to raise awareness, which gained thousands of shares online. Yeah. Also, can you give us an update, please?
Yeah, for sure. So that's a lot of my wife's hard work, doing her own investigating.
Yes.
So she didn't... So her cousin went missing and the police ruled it as suicide.
Yes.
But my wife knows her cousin that well that she knows she wouldn't just give up like that because she has a son.
Yes.
And so my wife felt that the police didn't do enough, didn't do their job properly, so she took matters into her own hands and did her own researching, connecting dots, gathering information from anyone. So, her cousin's been missing for almost 90 days now.
Yes.
And out in the Tolaga Bay, which is northeast of Gisborne.
Okay, yes.
And my wife, she's given up. I feel my wife has accepted that she has passed on. So all my wife and her family, they just want her cousin back so they can give her the celebration of a funeral service. Get some closure and say goodbye to their loved one, just like, you know, everyone deserves. So that's why my wife is not giving up. She's not giving up the fight. She's just continuing to ask around, do her own researching out in Tolaga Bay or in the Gisborne area, because she hopes that, you know, her loved ones would do the same for her.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's right, Bletty. And, you know, I hope you and your family will find closure in regards to Jamie Kaiwai and that,
You
know.
Thanks, also.
We're thinking of you and any way we can help to raise awareness.
I appreciate that, also. Thank you.
And this also raised a, you know, I've been following you and your wife with your campaigns, and it really did raise a very valid topic for me in terms of the coverage on media, especially mainstream media, and also the way that the police dealt with the investigation. You know, it kind of opened up some things that we really need to address. You know, a bit of fair, equal treatment in terms of how.
Yeah,
you know what I'm trying to say, eh?
Yeah, for sure. So, and then, like, my wife felt it wasn't fair. Like, the only people that broadcasted when, I think it was when my wife's cousin did go missing, I think they only aired it on Māori TV.
Look at that.
And nowhere else.
I mean,
so, my wife felt that if she were of lighter complexion or of European, ethnicity, she would have got a lot more exposure and coverage to the
mainstream
news media.
Outlets.
So my wife felt hard done by and felt that the police officers, like the police didn't even, like they found Jamie's car at the wharf, but the police didn't bother to fingerprint the car.
Look at that.
You know, like things like that could have helped, you know, if someone else were driving the car, then it could have connected, you know, the incident straight to the person. But because the police didn't do that, my wife felt really hard done by. So she put up a post, and that post went viral. It reached a lot of media, and she was getting the help that she
should have. Deserved, absolutely.
That's why I appreciate your platform. Also, I really appreciate you spreading the word as well. So thank you.
My man, thank you. Bletty, anywhere we can help through this humble community radio show?
Oh, man, that's a cool show, man. Hopefully one day I'll come and be there in person.
Even better. Yes, please, also. Talking about shows, my man, Bletty, you have been the subject of Māori Television's, it's a new online docu-series, The Barber.
Yeah.
Share with us, Bletty. Share with us.
It was really interesting because back when I started our barbershop in Flaxmere, a small little barbershop in 2012, a freelance director by the name of Kathleen Mantel, she was living in Hawke's Bay, but she was moving back to Auckland, so she wanted to do one last docu-series or documentary on Flaxmere.
Yep.
So she reached out to our councillor, Hinare Uki, and asked if there was anything good happening in the community at that time. She would like to film it.
Yes.
Yeah, and Hinare Uki referred our small barbershop, and yeah, the rest is history. She made a docu-series based on the people in the barbershop.
Yes.
It's an 8-part mini-series. Yeah, and it just follows the life of everyday people. And it's pretty inspiring. It was really cool. Sadly, we lost one of our clients who featured on one of the series, Jacob. He passed away, and yeah, that makes that episode even
more meaningful.
Much more special.
Yes.
Yeah, also, yeah, way, way more special.
So, you know,
yeah, it's a barber. It follows people who, just everyday people, getting to see the true transparency of a community like Flaxmere, because there's plenty of communities like Flaxmere around the world. So it's following everyday people.
Man, I loved it. Yeah, that's right. The Māori and Pacific community of men who frequent barbershop, Sawmill's barbershop, man. And bro, like I told you last week, chatting last week, man, Yeah, I stayed up pretty late watching all the episodes, eh?
She's very clever, Kathleen. She's really good at reeling in the audience.
I loved it, eh?
Yeah, hey. Nah, she's awesome.
What's the plan? What's the plan moving forward with these, with the barber?
This might be an exclusive also, so you've got the exclusive.
Oh, yes, yes.
So we're currently filming the part two of the barber documentary, so yeah, you've got the exclusive scoops. We've already started filming, but because of the events with my wife's cousin Jamie, we'll have to put her on a halt.
Yes.
But we will continue filming up until April. And that'll be another documentary, more based on, it's kind of following my journey as a counsellor. Yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah, but like still stemming from the barber shop, following that transition from a barber to becoming a counsellor. And there's some cool material in there at the moment. So yeah,
Beauty.
So April is when we finish shooting for the barber docuseries part two.
My man.
So you got the scruples.
I love it. So true. We can all resonate with your story in our different communities, different neighborhoods, man.
Real life, everyday. Yeah. And I just want to mention, I know growing up in New Zealand, our situation isn't as bad as like people over in Israel and Iraq and all those kids who are going through the wars and poverty and losing their homes. I know our situation here in New Zealand isn't as bad as theirs, but you know, like it's portraying, you know, whatever hand you're dealt with in life, you can still make the most of it. And that's it in a nutshell, really.
That's powerful.
Like, no, don't let your surroundings define who you are. Everyone has the capability to better their situation.
My man. Thank you, Paletti. Hey, Paletti, we're coming towards the end of our show, and thank you so much for coming. I told you, since last year, man, I just love to bring you on. And I think I've just lost my guest here. But that's fine. We've come towards the end.
Just left its snow below my door, and I can't hide beneath my sheets. I've read the words before, so now I know the time has come again for me, and I'm feeling the same way all over again. Feeling the same way all over again. Singing the same lines all over again. Another day that I can't find my head. My feet don't look like they're my own. I try and find the floor below to stand. I hope I reach it once again. And I'm feeling the same way all over again. Feeling the same way all over again. Singing the same lines all over again. No matter how much I pretend. Oh. 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 pretend.